And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. Merry Christmas Eve. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. You better watch out. Santa Claus is coming to town tonight. This is the day, Christmas Eve. I suspect if you're listening this morning, you're either at home baking up those last-minute cookies, wrapping up those last-minute presents, or, like my brother, who used to wait till Christmas Eve to shop, you're frantically running around town shopping. And by the way, on my way in, be careful with the fog this morning. But I sure did see a lot of people look like they were going into some of these stores. So you better be good. You better get those presents lined up right away. So this morning, I feel very lucky to have with us as my guest this morning, who's going to be hanging out with us for an hour. And I got to tell you, I just think he's one of the greatest people in Pensacola. So if you're in from out of town, maybe you're visiting family and you've never heard of this guy, well, he's kind of a household name around here. His name is Quint Studer. And Quint is someone that I've had the privilege to know, gosh, now, oh, maybe 20 plus years, something like that.
When did you move here?
I moved here in 2002.
Okay. I moved here in 96, and I bet you we met in 2002.
I think so. I think pretty quickly there. So Quint is someone, if you don't know who he is just got a resume that's incredible. He is a person who has, over the years, contributed so much to our community and other communities around the country. Quint is someone who has been in healthcare business. He was actually a teacher at one point and early in his career. He's written multiple books. In fact, I've got with me Sundays with Quint, which is his column that he wrote, as well as Building a Vibrant Community. And the Ham. How many books have you written now, sir?
16.
16. I can't remember them all. I apologize.
Well, I can't remember them all either, but I'm sort of shocked because, you know, the first book's really long and hard. And I was amazed I wrote one book.
Right.
And then it sort of, like anything else, the more you do it, the easier it. Plus, I'm like a singer that had the one-hit wonder, and I keep trying to
keep
come
trying.
Up with, because my first book sold 2 million copies.
Oh, my goodness.
Which was way more.
And the title of that one was?
Yeah, that was Hardwiring Excellence.
Yes, Hardwiring Excellence.
And that just stunned everyone in the healthcare world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I'm like, a musician that had 867-5309, right. And I keep trying to duplicate it.
I get it. Well, you've certainly done a lot with your books, of course, but he's well-known around here because of the revitalization that you've done with our downtown. You and your wife, Rishi Studer, have brought Bodacious Brew and Bodacious Coffee, and the whole downtown area has grown so much, and the Maritime Park, and is the owner of the Pensacola Blue Wahoos. Plus, you're doing a similar thing up in Beloit, Wisconsin, and Janesville, which is where you're from, originally, I believe, and you've got a team up there. So I always wanted to, my first question I was going to start is, so Quint, what do you do to keep busy?
Well, I'm a lot less busy than people think. I'm like George Costanza. Uh-huh. And they said, how do you look busy? You know, he gives this whole deal. You just look a little bit frustrated.
Right.
I'm not near as busy as people think I am. But you want to be purpose driven. Mm-hmm. When you're purpose driven, I've not worked in many, many years.
I find that. What is your definition of work?
Because I think work for me, I have joy in what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through a period like other people might go through where I didn't like work. It was a drudgery. I wasn't sure about where I was working, who I was working with. And then actually around December of 1993, I was in charge of patient satisfaction at Holy Cross Hospital in Chicago. Well, I was in charge of other things. That was one of them. And, I was doing all the stuff you're supposed to do to improve patient satisfaction, talking to employees and measuring and all those things. But I was doing it because I wanted to move a number. They measured it by percentiles. And one day I got a letter, and I got the letter only because I was in charge of patient satisfaction. And it was basically addressed a sister because I thought a sister at a Catholic hospital must be running it. And it said, you know, my father died at your hospital. And it said it was a matter of if, it was a matter of when. Only child, my father's a widower, and I promised my father he wouldn't die alone. I tried to be at the hospital every day, all the time, but, you know, I needed to go home once in a while before cell phones or anything. He said, I was home, and I got a phone call from a nurse, said, you need to get back here right away. And he said, I knew my father was dying or had died. Said he walked onto the nursing unit and realized he just felt his father was dead. Mm. Walked into his room, his father had died, but there next to his father's bed was a nurse holding his father's hand. She said to him, your father loved you very much. He was never alone. I've been here the whole time.
Oh.
She was a nurse that her shift had ended, but she couldn't go home. She had another nurse clock her out because she couldn't leave. And when I read that letter, I then realized this is what I had lost. I had lost my sense of purpose, worthwhile work, and making a difference. And since that moment on, I think I've never worked because I think, you know, I get to do this. And that's the magic. Move from a got to, have to mentality to a get to. And once you say I get to do things, it just changes things. I talk about my mother, who you know.
Yes, very well.
Shirley. And, you know, there were days when I would walk over to my mother's house with, I got to go visit her.
Aww.
I have to go visit her. Thank God for Steve Harvey, Family Feud. Those days were hard. But on days when I walked over to see my mother and say, I get to go see my mother. And I talk about this when I speak nationally. It was a whole different day.
Mm.
And of course, my mother died July 27th. You were there.
I was.
And up to 2023. And of course, we wish we could get to go visit her right now.
I know. I miss her so much. And she was
wonderful.
A character. She was a character. I got to tell you, she was a character.
I get it.
Because when Quint first talked to me about, he asked, could you help me out? And I was right. I was kind of in a transition in my life as well. So it was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Well, but she taught you how to forgive.
Yeah.
How to be patient.
Well, you say it. You know what it is. Love the...
Yeah, well, if anybody's ever seen Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino, she could have been the female Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino.
Yeah, she was a character. So it was really funny because when he first asked me if I'd be willing to come, and I think you all were going on vacation or something, and I said, you know, Quint, my mom, you know, I took care of her. I don't think so. And so then I met her, and I came out the door, and I said, I really don't think so. And he said, no, it's okay, I know. And so kind of started from there. And then she and I can't explain it. We just developed this special relationship that I just fell in love with her, and we became best friends over the years.
Well,
she had a heart of gold, but she was curmudgeon's not quite the right word.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. And you know, she'd say things and you'd look at her and think, I can't believe she said that. I ran into her dentist.
Oh, no.
And her dentist said, I loved your mother. And one day she sort of propositioned to me. And, you know, and my mother was 90-something years old. But my mother thought she had no issue with self-esteem.
No, she
thought every man in the world wanted her desperately.
And you know what? I may not have ever told you this story, but I would take her on her doctor's visits. And I remember we were meeting a new cardiologist or something like that. And he came in. He was a very handsome doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said hello to me. And I was talking. And she never wanted me to talk for her. So she said,
right.
I'm perfectly capable of telling the doctor what I need. So you can wait outside, Meg. And she said, and how are you, Doc? With this like real seductive. I looked at her. I was like,
yeah,
she's 95 years old. She was amazing. But Quint, if you haven't met Quint before, you can quickly Google his name. And you'll see all kinds of wonderful things that come up. But the reason I thought it'd be fun to have him here today is because today is about family. It's about getting together with friends. And having known him, kind of, I know him as this sort of business persona, but I've been graced to also know him on a more personal level, obviously, being with his family and his mom. And so I thought it'd be kind of fun today, Quint, to talk about some of the things that maybe people don't know about you. Because certainly, if you want to, we can get into, I know there's a lot of things on the plate right now with the new construction on Palafox and so many quote-unquote issues in Pensacola. And I suspect every time you go on the radio, those are the things that you get to talk about. But I thought it might be fun to find out a little bit about what brought you to... from Wisconsin, you came here. What in the world... why did you and Rishi stay? And then, I've always wondered, Because when I moved here, there was nothing in downtown. It was very, very kind of isolated, and it was just not in a very good space. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to ask you, what inspired you to stay here and help us, okay? So we're going to come back with Quint. If you've got a question for Quint Studer, you are welcome to text it in at 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. It is Christmas Eve. I hope you're having a beautiful day so far. I know I am because I'm lucky enough to have Quint Studer in the studio with us. And if you don't know who he is, in short of my rattling off his resume this morning, go Google his name. And he's got a fantastic website where you can get his books, quintstuder.com, and find out about the amazing life that he's led. But since I've got him here in the studio with me, I told him I want to find out a little bit more about what brought you to Pensacola. And I kind of know that story. But why did y'all stay? Because it's very different from where you came from. Pensacola's kind of off the map. It's not Atlanta or New York or Chicago or something like that.
It's not even on the Florida map.
Correct. In fact, half the people I talk to and my friends in Miami, they say, well, why don't you drive down for a visit? Well, it's 12 hours, 13 hours away. We're not even on the radar. So why did you stay? And what motivated you, Quint, to do? You've done so much and continue to be bringing. We've got the new condo development that's coming, and you continue to give back. So what is the motivation?
Oh, I don't know. I think the motivation is you get excited about... I started out as a special ed teacher. And as a special ed teacher, you want to maximize each child's human potential.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started my company, Studer Group, here, after coming to be president of Baptist Hospital, our mission was to optimize people's human potential.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And I think when you look at a community, that's what we should all be wanting to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's sort of what got me, you know, I'm no having a straight line. I speak a lot at colleges, and they'll ask me, you know, my career path. And I said, it's not the normal career path. It's very, very different. So, you know, I don't know. I just think you want to make people's lives better. Last night I went over to the stadium. We had over 2,000 people.
I saw the fireworks from my house.
Walking around the stadium, and that's sort of cool. I mean, those 2,000 people would have done something.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it was sort of fun and different ages and, you know, a real inclusive crowd there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's sort of neat. So to answer your question, I came here. I was working in Chicago, and because I had a very late start in healthcare, I didn't get into healthcare till I was 33.
Wow.
Most people were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was having some good success. Every job they gave me, I did it. So I was chief operating officer of a hospital in Chicago, and that hospital was named Hospital of the Year, which is sort of like being a coach on an assistant coach on a championship football team.
Mm-hmm.
Places start looking at the assistants.
Well, it's the being the writer of a Grammy-winning song.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. And so I got a people in Pensacola had gone and benchmarked us in Chicago. Al Stubblefield, Charlie Brannon, Gail Boylan had come up and came down to Pensacola to try to implement some of the things we were doing in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They had me come down and do a talk, and then I went back up. And then Al got the idea that maybe it'd be easier to do what we did in Chicago if he brought the guy that did it in Chicago down to Pensacola. So he had Rishi and I come down. I remember it was March of 1995. And
wow.
We stayed at the only hotel at the time on the beach. The Hampton Inn had just been built.
Yeah, well, that was put, yeah.
And so they offered me the job as administrator. And, you know, I don't have a master's in healthcare or an MBA. So I needed a hospital that would also, in a way, you know, give this guy a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I came, and of course we had really a lot of success, because when I got there, Baptist wasn't doing that well, but it sort of became a pretty well-known thing. And so people said, you should travel and do this, but what do you do? And so we decided to start Studer Group. And the reason I stayed is because of my youngest son, Michael. We had moved twice in Wisconsin and then to Chicago. So his first 7 years of life, he had moved four times counting Pensacola. His first place, he loved his neighborhood and his friends.
Oh.
And when we moved to Chicago, I remember him running out to go see his friends and realizing they weren't there. And Rishi and I just cried.
Oh.
We got down to Pensacola, and he was so nervous, he kept wiggling his hair.
Oh.
So he had a giant bald spot on his head from pulling his hair out. So we made the decision that we could not move him again. So we stayed here, not because beaches or, we just stayed here as parents because we didn't want to put our child through any more pain.
Right.
And then we got to the point where the company took off. So all of a sudden we ended up having 50 or 60 employees. Vanderbilt actually offered to move my company on their campus to start a leadership institute there.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, at the time we had local people like Penelope Elabash and Carrie King and Felicia Wynn and Autumn Morris and all these local people. And I couldn't uproot them because for some of them back then, career opportunities for young people weren't here. So Studer Group was a big win for a lot of people to give them jobs where they could make more money, have good benefits locally. And many of them had roots here, not roots, or they married somebody from here. They had roots here. So just couldn't move out of the community because I didn't want to uproot employees.
Right. Okay. Well, it's pretty amazing what you've done with Studer Community Institute. We can talk so much about, I mean, I said, what are we going to talk about? There's so many things that I wanted to ask you about, but I was curious because you had a lot of pushback in the beginning when you proposed the stadium and some of the things for downtown, and you managed to convince people that this could be beneficial for the community. But I remember I was here when a lot of that happened. That was not an easy road, sir.
Well, my parents were living in Fort Myers there, and they followed it. And man, my mother would get so mad at the letters to the editor.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And those types of things. I think I got into it because I didn't know what I was getting into.
Right.
I mean, no, that's well, yeah. If you read Rick Outzen's book, he's got a book all called Right Idea, Right Time.
Oh, okay.
And it's available on Amazon, and it's the story of the referendum behind the scenes. And when people read it, they say, I didn't realize that. I had two things that happened. I had Jim Clifton became a fan of my healthcare work. And he's the owner, president of Gallup.
Okay.
And he had me come to D.C. to talk to me about healthcare. And he mentioned they had just done the biggest study ever called Soul of the City, Why Do Some Communities Thrive and Some Don't? And at the time, you know, we can say White Beaches, Blue Angels, all great stuff, but are still... Only 9% of people that went to college came back.
Wow.
Our downtown, I never went downtown. People told me they'd get out at 5. It wasn't much.
No, it wasn't.
Not to hurt people's feelings. And it's hard. I think it's sometimes take an outside person because the inside person, it's so used to it.
Right.
And so I read this book, and I remember sending it to Randy Hammer, who was at the News Journal there, and we said, wow. So actually, I brought Jim down here to speak at IHMC. It was way probably that. Then Hurricane Ivan came, and my good friend Mortal Sullivan was, he's much more connected than me, was going to meetings with Dick Appleyard and Ellis Bullock, and Tom Bonfield ran the city at the time on how to make our city better, or how to, after Ivan. So Mort said, well, you know, Quint told me one day that he'd like to do something, and he's got $3 million he said he'd put into it.
Oh,
and that gets you invited. That gets you invited to the next meeting. And at the time, you know, Tom Bonfield always had a dream of having a stadium downtown because he's a minor league baseball player. He really wanted to move our growing business because remember that's when Apple, all these companies were going to Gulf Breeze,
yes,
and he wanted to get a company here.
Right.
So he thought it'd be fun to get a growing company from Gulf Breeze to come to Pensacola.
There you go.
So we're talking about an office building. And that's sort of where it went.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with more of the story with Quint Studer right here on a Pep Talk. And, of course, if you've got a question or and a comment, you can always text it in at 850-437-1620. We'll be right back after the break. Merry Christmas Eve to you. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Quint Studer's here this morning sharing us some thoughts about Pensacola and how he arrived here. And you were right in the middle of stuff telling us about how things had started with Mort Sullivan and all the gang for downtown.
Well, Admiral Fetterman back then was pushing a museum, downtown museum, because he thought when people come to the Air Museum, if they had something else to do, they might stay a night. And he was way ahead of me. And Mort knew about this baseball stadium in downtown. So we met, and they asked about the stadium. We had actually looked at some land where Distinctive Kitchen was, but we found out right around that time the EAP said, EPA said you just couldn't do anything on that land. It's so damaged. So we didn't have a spot. And the thing that said, why don't we put the stadium on the project, whatever it was called, the Creosote site. And I said, well, I don't want to get in the way of Admiral Fetterman because he's way ahead of me. And Admiral Fetterman always had a dream of a bookend anyway, so it's in Rick's book. He pushed like the cards to the middle of the table and said he was all in. So I thought, well, isn't this fun? And, you know, I was a special ed teacher and healthcare, and this will be nice and the community will appreciate it. And so I just said yes and got into it, and then it got ugly, and I didn't want to quit because I thought I thought we were being bullied, and I didn't want bullies to win. I wanted the community to move forward.
All right, well, we're going to stop there. We got to take a break for the news, and we'll be back with more of Quint's story right here on Pep Talk,
850-437-1620. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Merry Christmas Eve to you and your family. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. This morning I have a special guest. I don't know if we're going to get a white Christmas, but I know that my Christmas is made because my present's already here. Quint Studer, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I don't think we're going to get a white Christmas. What do you think?
No,
foggy.
No, it's fine.
Foggy, a little foggy, but not quite the white Christmas. So we've had the pleasure of talking. You know, I told Quint we could talk about anything. We've got issues and all kinds of very serious topics. But it's been kind of interesting to hear your story. I don't know that a lot of people know how you came to Pensacola, how you got here. And we were talking about the revitalization of downtown right before we went to break. So you had so much resistance. What kept you going? How do you, when you decide that you want to do something and people say, no, I don't like that. And well, how do you know when it's the right thing to do?
Well, I think over life experiences, I used to be a scared kid and I would quit things when they got tough. And then if you get value driven, where you realize why you're doing it, you can keep going. And I truly believed what we were doing was going to be good for this community, or I wouldn't have done it. And it wasn't I did blindly. You know, I do research. I'm not going to spend millions of dollars without some research.
Right.
I went to Pittsburgh and studied with Urban Design, which is the world's designer of downtowns. And I showed them what we were planning. And they said, actually, this is exactly what should go on that property.
Oh,
so we had that. So I had some expertise. I had the Gallup study that showed me. And they said, You want to create something that brings lots of people downtown on a regular basis, because then you get, you know, people just don't develop a downtown. And I know we got a question, but basically there's four elements of what you create a great downtown. And that's first, you got to program the heck out of it. You got to give people reasons to come downtown. That's why gallery night is so good.
Oh, yeah.
And these types of things. Second is, if you do that, you know, you're going to get small businesses trying to make it. And the big, you know, people say, bring an Abercrombie and Fitch in, bring a this in, and you know, blah, 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 bring a Starbucks in, blah, blah, blah. Well, they want to be where there's a lot of traffic pattern. So, you know, Starbucks went to Gregory.
Right.
They want to go where a lot of cars are driving by. They're not going to go to a downtown with hardly any people. So you get these people that some of them have already been there, like Jewelers Trade and the Alabashes. You know, they've been there, some of them, but not many. And because they got to have people, walkability. So if you create a lot of people downtown, then you get the small startups like our coffee shops. They're small startups. And that's the second step. The third step is office buildings and really nice office buildings, because then people work downtown. And if they're working downtown, they're more likely to have lunch there, stay downtown. So that was the commitment to the Maritime Office Building, was the first Class A office space. The fourth one is the hardest. Once you get residential downtown, you won't tip back, because you aren't depending on the Saturday. You're not depending on the parade. You're not depending on certain things to make it work, because you have, you know, regular people living there.
Right.
So that's why Southtown was so important. It's such a risk. We couldn't get a loan because people didn't know if apartments would make it downtown.
Right.
So once you do that fourth one, then you really get it going. So, I mean, my wife and I went to the new perfume place that you can try out, make perfumes.
Right.
Then we went to Colette's to buy some stuff. And then, so there's so many wonderful things downtown happening. And those were the real elements. So I knew the game plan. And it's like, you know, you're a Georgia Bulldog fan. And, and you basically run the game plan. And you're going to have defenses. And I tell you, I'd never gone through anything like this in my life. I mean, I was spit on in a restaurant from someone.
Oh, my goodness. I remember a lot of that.
Was stealing her father's land because he paid taxes, so he owns the land.
Yeah, it's wild.
Of course, Luke McCoy was bashing me every
That's
day.
That's right,
every day
yes.
He could. Back then on social media, you could post anything.
Mm-hmm.
So one day on social media, it said, the reason I had killed Jack Fetterman and at Mayor Wibbs, I was going to be arrested soon because they knew what I was really up to, and that's
oh
why
gosh.
I had been killed.
Oh, my God.
You know, they were giving me something for a dollar when reality at the stadium, we pay $700,000 a year. We paid almost $9 million since that stadium went up. So I think that's different than $12 a year.
Yeah.
But, you know, as Mark Twain said, you know, a lie travels around the world a few times before the truth gets out the front door.
He was a wise man, old Mark
yes.
Twain. He had a couple of really good ones. Well, we're very blessed to have you here. And I know that you have a big love of baseball. And so you brought the Blue Wahoos to us. And that was a process I was sharing with him this morning. I met Rishi for the first time at a Pelicans game, sitting in the stands at UWF.
Well, that's what people forget. It's sort of like when Navy Federal, people might not realize this, but the first announcement they made is they were going to put a call center in Pensacola or Escambia County.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, I was at dinners and people were blasting it. We don't need a call center paying minimum wage. We need high tech, high level, high jobs. Like somebody can just invent them. Well, Navy Federal came for 300 employees. And now they're like 9,000.
Right.
So, you know, people forget things start small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we tell people in downtowns, it's one building, it's one block, and so on. So anyway, Rishi and I went to a game in 2002, a baseball game. I had heard we had a minor league baseball team that just was brand new. I didn't know the difference between affiliate, which means with a major league team.
Right.
And independent means starving to death. Anyway, so it was an independent team, and I liked it. I'm a real nostalgic guy,
mm-hmm.
for like Life magazine with the pictorial.
Yes,
and it felt like that. And so the next day, the Pensacola News Journal, Gordon Paul had an article in there that said, gee, somebody bought the team. And I said, oh, he was at the game. Next day it said it fell through. So I called my good friend Mort and said, let's figure out how to buy this team. Don't look too closely because I know it's a disaster.
Oh.
And we bought this Pensacola Pelicans, and it was at Pensacola Junior College, and we appreciate them letting it play there. And then we moved to Richard Berg, who was the athletic director, and Jim Spooner, who was the coach at the time. They're both wonderful men that are deceased. Said, move it to UWF. We moved it to UWF, and not knowing at the time we'd have a downtown stadium.
Right. None of that existed at that point.
But it was fun. And we had some great players there. Now, you know, we had our shortstop for 2005 and 2006 was Joe Espada. And our second baseman was Carlos Mendoza. And independent ball is when people aren't in a major league chain, but they don't want to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And they both played there. And ironically, miraculously, Joe is now the manager of the Houston Astros, and Carlos Mendoza is the manager of the New York Mets.
Wow.
And I saw him recently, and they both agreed to come to Pensacola in February.
No kidding.
To say thank you to the community and their host mother, who they said they made such a difference in their lives. Can you imagine that?
I love that. That is so
cool.
So cool. Very cool. Well, we're getting lots of texts. No surprise this morning. So one of the very first ones was, what does Mr. Studer envision for the Baptist Healthcare property?
Well, first of all, it needed to be torn down. I got there in 1996, and mm-hmm. it should have been torn down then.
Right.
I mean, it was built without a lot of money. Really.
Yeah.
And the ceilings were low with technology, with equipment,
mm-hmm.
and so on. So I commend them for moving it. And I was there yesterday getting my hearing aids adjusted.
Oh, bless
and
your
so
heart.
On. And as Mayor Reeves has said, you got this big plot of land, but it doesn't make it easy. And I like the fact, I believe you bring in people that have done this before and you plan it. And if you don't, you're going to end up with stuff that you don't know. Mm-hmm. And you also got to make sure this whole thing's going to need to be financed.
Right. And that's the big question.
Well, unless the taxpayers want to pay a bunch of money, which they might not, the market's going to drive it. But there are some really nice developments. And today when people think of developments, they're very different. When you because it's sort of like what OLF 8 is becoming. People don't do a development without putting in amenities like little grocery stores, and doctors, like Southtown below.
Bookstore.
They put little things in. You want it to be walkable. Mm-hmm. You want it to have, some people call it diversity. I call it inclusion. You want different things for different people. I know D.C. would love to have a school there. The school's really created. So I think sitting back and planning it and the market will play a good turn. But just throwing our hands up and saying we want this and that and this won't get us there.
Being open to new ideas, then it becomes limitless.
Well, and I think it has to be financed. And just like everything else, projects fall apart because you need money. And I used to joke, and I'll finish with this. I went into an architect's office one day in Pensacola, and I saw these beautiful buildings. I said, wow, these are great. Where are they? He said, well, they never were built.
Because you
got to be careful that you have to finance things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't finance things, it's not going to happen. But I think this project can be a cool town. I think it can be wonderful. I think it's close to downtown.
I think
it'd be a place that different ages all live in, different income levels. So I have really high hopes for this. If they, you know, let's not have, contempt prior to investigation.
Yes. Yeah, we want to stay away from that.
Reminds me a little bit of the stadium all over again, deja vu.
I was thinking about that. I had that same thought. All right, we're talking with Quint Studer, 850-437-1620. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back on Pep Talk. Merry Christmas Eve. We are live here at Pep Talk this morning with Meg, and I hope that you're having a good morning, getting everything you need to get done. Just a reminder, if you're wondering where Santa Claus is, you can always check out. Every year they do this. NORAD keeps a track of when he leaves the North Pole, when the reindeer start flying out all over the world. So if you want to check that out, you can look it up. Just Google NORAD or the National Weather Service, and I love they do these reports. When I was a little kid, they used to do these reports on the radio, and I would listen and he's in Minnesota now. Oh gosh, he's over here. So that's always a fun thing to do on Christmas. But I'm excited because Christmas is already here at the Pep Talk studio because I've got my friend Quint Studer here talking about his early beginnings here at Pensacola and all of the resistance that he had. But also we have to mention, of course, the major accomplishments that have happened. I don't think I can drive through Pensacola, Quint, without seeing something that you either supported or initiated or worked with. And it's just remarkable when you think about it. But we're getting lots of questions from listeners. So first, I'm going to start off with a comment. This comes in from a listener. His name's Ryan. And he says, I just want to thank Quint Studer for all his efforts on behalf of Pensacola. Moved here to start a family in 2001. So many positive changes since then. So there you go.
Very, very, very appreciated.
So we're getting lots of questions now about the topic. We were talking about Baptist Hospital when you first came here, the changes, so many things with the Blue Wahoos. I know how much you love baseball. I think it's so great. These players are going to become former players are coming back in February. And so another person, this is kind of a toughie, but I'm dying to hear your answer. What is Quint's vision for the next 10 years?
Well, I think we really got some exciting things going on and because it takes a while. So I think the vision is to really continue to make this. If you look at we're the fourth safest city in the United States, our downtown's ranked, you got to keep it up. And, you know, cities peak and you have to be careful to have smart growth because I think you can really, if you're not managing your growth, and I like growth. I'm mm-hmm. not saying you don't grow, mm-hmm. but you do it smart.
Right.
So for example, if you look at, I like height. Now, I don't think you should have 100 floors, but you know, I tell people I got a call from Modesto, California, because they said, you know, thinking of building a 6-story building downtown. We don't have any of these. What do you think? And I said, well, if you like the environment, you should like it because it's going to take up less green space.
That's true. That's another way to look at it.
If you like the downtown, you should like it because you're going to have 5 floors of apartments that are going to shop downtown. Mm-hmm. If you want financial sustainability, you should like it because I know we pay $1,028,000 in property taxes for our property downtown.
Wow.
That's what we pay every year, over $1 million.
Wow.
And if you look at it, you know, Maritime Place office building is 4 stories. and it pays $250,000 or so dollars. So if you like financially sustainability, and not height or one way, but you got to look at everything individually. When I got done, the reporter said, you know, I've never thought of it like that.
Right.
Because people just right away said, we don't want a high rise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or we don't want a this. You know, mm-hmm. The no's always come out fast. The yeses are a little bit cautious. And sometimes the yeses are a little afraid because you get beat up a little bit. So you just go quiet. A person came up to me one day who I knew who worked for me and said, hey, I was out at dinner last night and this guy was really blasting you at dinner. I said, oh, what'd you say? He said, well, I didn't want to cause a controversy. I said, well, by you being quiet and you work for me, you sort of told him you agree. So my
Ooh.
Message to people
and
is...
Isn't there an expression, silence
to me is support.
Yeah.
When you don't say anything, you're mm-hmm. supporting it. Mm-hmm. So you got to get a little more bold.
Right. Yeah. That's something that I said I was bringing you on as a guest this morning, and it was really funny. And I said, I'm not sure what we're going to talk about. And I said, because, you know, he's so introverted and so unopinionated.
Right. That's me. Get it from my mother.
And, of course, I do have to mention how underappreciated you are.
Yes, 100%.
We're talking with Quint Studer here on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Got another question that came in. What about, ask Quint Studer about small businesses resources that he suggests to use in Pensacola. Possibly someone calling and thinking, if you're thinking.
We're loaded with resources.
Hey, in 2026, maybe I should start a business or I have an idea. Now that's really your forte.
We're loaded with resources.
Yeah.
When D.C. Reeves worked for me as chief of staff, we did a survey of 168 small businesses, what's available, and we want to create an eco-entrepreneur system which still meets. So depending on where you're at, mm-hmm. if you're just thinking of starting a small business, get the book E-Myth Revisited. Now, it's hard for me to recommend a book I haven't written. So anyway,
right. Out of the 16.
It's called E-Myth Revisited, and right. I think it's great. You have the Small Business Development Center, which is really great.
Mm-hmm.
We have at Studer Community Institute, which has a whole bunch of resources free for businesses, including our mentoring program. You have the CoLab workspace. So you have so much stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a small business right now, available to you. So, or just text me at 850-232-4648. That's my number, and I can point you in some directions that I would go.
Excellent. We're talking with Quint Studer. If you've got a question for him, 850-437-1620. We've got to take a commercial break here, but I have some good news. Quint, do you think you can stick around for another hour with us this morning?
Well, we got to answer that live oak tree question about Baptist Hospital, because
okay.
I don't like running away from any question.
Well, we're going to come back and answer that one. So if the listener that sent that in, we haven't forgotten you, but I've got a lot of questions coming in, so we're going to get to you. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back on Pep Talk with Quint Studer. And we're back with Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Excited to have our friend Quint Studer here in the studio hanging out on this Christmas Eve morning. So I appreciate you being here, Quint.
Oh, I'm so great. You know, you've always been a special friend to me and Rishi and my family. My kids all know you like an aunt.
I love your
family. No. Yeah. My son, Quinn, you know him and you, because, you know, he spent so much time with my mother.
Yeah.
And
she's
sort of
a special,
magical.
Special lady.
Yeah. Well, they all like coming down. So you're like part of the family.
Yeah. I would agree. I love you guys so much, and I get the privilege of and the honor of spending time with the kids and seeing all of them grow up. I mean, I can't believe it, and just
yeah. Cooper's engaged.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, we'll talk more about that after the break. We're gonna get to the rest of your questions because Quint's gonna stick around for the next hour. I'm so excited he's can be here with us. If you've got a question. Form 850-437-1620. Yep, we're going to get to the live oak question first when we come back. So stick around. We'll have your local news for you. And hey, it's Christmas Eve. I hope you're having a little eggnog already.